Grandpa, can Grandma read us a story?
You want a story?
Yes.
You want a story, Kelly? Okay, listen, Grandma will probably read you a story, okay? I'm sure she will. But why don't you get the other kids outside, okay? Go outside and see if they want to come inside, and Grandma will read a story, okay? All right, go get them.
Right, left, right.
Okay, kids, come on. Get in here. Hurry. Hustle. We're going to get Grandma to tell us a story. Grandma!
Yes?
The kids want you to come in here and tell a story. You got time?
How about reading a story, not just telling a story?
Read a story. That sounds good.
All right. If everybody's kind of quiet, gather around, and I'll read a story.
Fantastic. Here we go.
Hi, kids. Hope you're having a good day today. Shall we study in the Bible a little bit? While Paul was a prisoner in Rome, he not only preached the gospel to all who came to visit him, but he also found time to write letters to the churches he had found in Macedonia and Asia Minor. But these are not the only letters Paul wrote. Just how many letters Paul wrote while on his missionary journeys and in prison, nobody knows. The number must have been far more than the dozen or so that it exists today. He was, in fact, one of the most famous letter writers of all time. Some of his letters are still read every day by millions of people around the world. Half of the books of the New Testament were written by him. These books are really letters or epistles, as they are sometimes called. Some were addressed to churches and cities such as Corinth, Philippi, and so on. Others were written to personal friends like Timothy and Titus. All of Paul's letters were love letters. You can't read them without feeling the love he had for the people to whom he wrote. He counted them all as his own sons and daughters. He had suffered much to bring them the gospel, and they were all very dear to his heart. "You are our glory and joy," he told them, and he meant every word. Now, today, a lot of people don't write letters. They forgot the art of sitting down and actually writing a letter or writing a thank you. You get on Facebook or you send an email or something. But, you know, it would be nice to just sit down, take your pencil or pen, and write a letter to your mom and dad. Tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them for what all they've done for you. Or if you have a favorite aunt or uncle or somebody in the church that means a lot to you, sit down, and if you're not really good at writing yet and don't know how to write words, then have your mom or dad sit down with you and help you to write a letter, a love letter, a letter that says how much you like them, how much you appreciate them, and how much you wish the best for them. Because Paul loved these new converts so much, he sent them much good advice on all kinds of subjects. He was anxious they should not lack any spiritual gift as they waited for the return of Jesus. He wanted to make sure they would stay in the church and not be led away by false teachers. That is why he tried to make the gospel as plain as he could to them. Over and over and over, he set before them the high standards of conduct that God expected of them as Christians. Time without number, he assured them that God, by his Holy Spirit, would give them power to live noble lives worthy of their high calling. Faithfully, he warned them that their resolve to be followers of Jesus might bring them into trouble. Enemies would try to harm them, but they were not to worry. To the Romans, he had previously written these brave and encouraging words. "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, peril, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, or things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." As you read Paul's love letters, you will come across some things that may seem difficult to understand at first. Never mind. Peter felt the same way about them, for he wrote, "There are some things in them hard to understand." Always try to remember when these letters were written and to whom they were written. They were written to the white Israelites that were in Jerusalem, but also the ones that had gone all the way up and into Europe and all through there. They are the oldest Christian letters in existence, having been written between A.D. 50 and 65, not many years after the crucifixion of Christ, and only a little while after the new Christians had come out of pagan idolatry or the teachings of the Jews. There was so much truth these dear people needed to know that it took someone with Paul's keen mind and loving heart to explain it all to them. By studying the books of Romans and Corinthians, Thessalonians, and the other epistles, you will learn much about the Christian church as it was 1900 years ago, and of the love in the heart of the man who did so much to raise it up. Have you ever asked yourself, what is the meaning of the word love? When you say, I love my dog, or I love my pet canary, or I love my mom, what do you have in mind? Do you mean that you just have a nice friendly feeling inside towards your dog, your canary, or your mom? Or is love something much more than that? It is really quite important that we know what love is, because it is the most important word in the Bible. God is love, we are told, and Jesus came from heaven to earth to tell us so. When a lawyer asked him, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus replied, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Here, when they're talking about neighbor, he's talking about your fellow white race. To his disciples, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It is plain, therefore, that if we are going to be true followers of Jesus, we must learn to love and love and keep on loving. But how? Paul tried to answer this question in his first letter to the church in Corinth. There had been trouble among the members. Some had been jealous. Others had been proud and boastful. All such feelings were wrong, he said, because they were the opposite of love. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have, but have not love, I gain nothing. Then he went on how to describe love and what it is and how it shows himself. Now listen real close, boys and girls. This is what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. So you see, we shouldn't be jealous of our brothers and sisters or playmates at school. And we shouldn't be boastful. That means, hey, look what I can do. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. My mama can cook better than your mama. I have a bigger room. I have a bigger house. We have more cars than you do. That's not love. It's not arrogant or rude. Arrogant means that you walk around and you feel that you're better than everybody. Or rude. Rude is when you do things that you know will hurt somebody else's feelings. It's not having manners. It's if your mother tells you, don't say anything right now, the baby's asleep, and you said, I don't care. That's rude. Or if mom and dad say, go and clean your room, and you say, I don't have to right now. Oh, that's rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. In other words, if you have a buddy and he comes down with measles and you say, ha, 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 or he falls and scrapes his knee and you say, well, he deserves it. Oh, that's not love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You know, a lot of times we might be in a family where we have a stepfather or stepmother and we don't think that they maybe love us, but they do. We don't want to be rude to them. We want to love them because they love us. A lot of things, times we cannot we don't believe, and we've got to learn to believe. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecy, it will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. So faith and hope and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. You know how it is? Sometimes you have problems in the family, or maybe a grandma, grandpa dies, or who knows? There's all types of family problems. Maybe your dad loses his job. Your mom comes down real sick. But you know what? What keeps the family together? You love one another, and you know that Jesus Christ is right there in the midst, and he loves you. Then he added, make love your aim. And that is a very fine aim for you and me. We should seek to reveal the love of God in our lives at all times and in all places, at home, at school, at work, and at play. Remember how very often I say, be a good witness to Jesus, because people look at us as Christians, and if we're just the same as everybody else, if we're rude and ill-mannered, not respectful of our teachers and police and ministers and our parents, then we're no different than anybody else. Not just silly sentiment, but love, true love. Love that is patient and kind. Love that keeps us from being jealous, proud, boastful, or rude. Love that never lets us insist on our own way or be irritable or resentful. You know, a lot of times our moms and dad will say, you can do so-and-so, Johnny. And little brother says, well, why can't I? It's because he's older. So love that rejoices at good, but never at evil. If something happens to somebody, we don't say, well, they deserve it. Love that bears hardship without complaint. Maybe daddy lost his job, or there isn't money enough to go and get that little game you wanted. So we should bear it without a complaint. Believe the best about others. Is always full of hope and endures suffering with a smile. This is love at its best, says Paul. It is the kind of love that Christians should have in their hearts and reveal in their lives every day. So the best place to start is at home. You love your mom and dad. When they ask you to do something, do it. If baby brother or maybe your older brother gets to do something and you don't get resentful. If maybe you're better at math and somebody else is better at spelling, don't get all upset. Just try to do better at what you are doing. So we want you to be a good witness for Jesus. And how do you do that? You do that by loving each other. So remember what Jesus said. Until tomorrow, I love you. Bye.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Brown. Are you aware that the rural area lost to development between 1982-1997 is about equal to the entire landmass of Maine and New Hampshire combined? Are you aware that the rate of rural land loss to development in the 1990s was about 2.2 million acres per year? If this rate continues to the year 2050, when today's white tallers are middle age, the United States will have lost an additional 110 million acres of rural countryside. That's about equal to the combined areas of Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Virginia. If you think we have problems with immigration now, what do you think our children will have to face in 2050? Get involved and let's fight to protect our white heritage and culture. Go to KKK.com because we care.
Colonial America was so influenced by the Bible and its precepts that Colonial America has been referred to as a Bible Commonwealth. This is especially revealed by the biblical laws and principles used in colonial government, including those against race mixing and homosexuality. America truly is a nation founded on biblical precepts.
You don't have to be a victim. Just say no to white genocide. 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 Just say no to white genocide.